Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is another blessed Saturday in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at an email address at godswordsman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. We thank God for all you've been listening. Wherever you're listening to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Once again, Lord God, we humble ourselves before you on this great day, this day that you have blessed us once again to assemble together in your name. And you said where two or three are gathered together in your name that you will be in the midst. So, Lord God, we know that you make good on your word, and we thank you for being here amongst us. Dear Lord, today as your word go forth, bless the speakers on this night and bless the hearers, Lord, that desire to hear your word, who have a heart to seek your face. Lord God, we ask that you manifest yourself tonight by the power of your spirit and show all who are listening who you are once again. So, Lord God, we just thank you. We magnify and glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Once again, this is Brother Nate. And tonight, for those of you that follow us, hey, you know it's Saturday night, so you know what that means. Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And as we wait for my brother to come on, I want to take this opportunity to thank the Lord for blessing us to be able to come with the broadcast, bringing us through many tests and trials. But I thank God for it, and we know that his reward will always outweigh the things that you go through. Amen. Glory be to God. I may have said this to y'all once before, and I say it again. There's a spirit of contention brewing, especially in this nation. And I want to say this to all of you. Be careful of information that people bring you, because every information they bring you is not the right information. And many bring you information to get something started that is not good, whether it is contention, separation, what have you. And we know overall that's the works of Satan, but there are people who love to do that. And you have to be careful of information that is brought to you, okay, especially concerning other people. And this information being brought to you, and especially if it's brought to you constantly, okay, where it is causing you to look at the other man that this information is geared towards with an eye of hatred, with an eye of evil, with an eye of judgment according to the flesh. And you said, well, Brother Nate, why do you say that? Because in this nation today, I see that there is a spirit of contention going on among this nation where that information is being given, and this is by the government and the CDC, to people who have been vaccinated. And this information that they're giving people that have been vaccinated is leading them to think that they're going to get affected because of people who haven't got vaccinated. So now they're stirring up anger, and they're giving reports each and every day. So once again, I say unto you, be careful of information being brought to you. Number one, you make sure that you find out from Jesus is true, okay? That's your information. But number two, watch what is told to you, especially if it's gearing you towards hate toward another fellow man. So on that, let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, brother. Yeshua Mashiach. Jesus Christ is Lord over his people. Thank God for another blessed gift from the living God. We are alive to declare the goodness of Jesus Christ as Lord. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the faithful believers who believe the gospel and sharing the gospel in every part of the earth. We thank God for the saints around the earth and the earth. We thank God for the listener, those that will listen in. Talk Block Radio this evening. Brother Lee from Chicago, the windy city, the lovely city. And the angel one time referred to Chicago as that wicked city, of course, but we're not going to stop there, even though we know a wickedness is in every probably urban city especially. And so Satan is on the move, but God is on a greater move. So saloon today. Talk Block Radio is in bright. This is the hour that we call the Evangelist Women. Honor the women of God, those that are in Christ and in the kingdom of God, and those that have not yet but are good and wonderful people who are doing excellent things to helping people in all the earth, the women, the mothers, the wives, and those that are engaged to be married, those that are looking for husband and wives, male and female, we congratulate you to searching, seeking for a lifetime mate, covenant, marriage vow, and life. So, hello, brother. Good tidings.
Amen. God bless you, brother. How you doing?
This is another day that the just shall live by faith and walk by faith, and that's how they're going to know the victory.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So I would like to have probably a gallon of fresh carrot, cucumber, celery, and beet juice mixed together. That would go good by now.
Yeah, all your healthy nutrients, brother. All your healthy nutrients.
Well, my body comes from the earth, over 608 elements from the earth, and so from speaking from a physical standpoint and health-wise, I have to get all my nutrients from the earth, and the Lord God said when he created the garden, he put everything in that garden, the tree that was for our good, our health, and our well-being. So, you know, we do have to go back to some what they call the old landmark thinking, go back to the natural means, like the old people in the South on their farm, natural lands. They live healthier lives than the city dwellers. So I'm not taking away from you city dwellers, but living close to the land and to the earth gives you an added benefit. Amen. I miss some of the food, brother, the enjoyments of the simple things of life on that farm. My grandfather, when I was 5 years old, and the fresh air, the fresh water, the well water, the pump water. Oh, good. I need some good pump water, some well water, brother. Amen. I've been telling people 25 years, they don't want to hear that, that the water is polluted, so polluted. And I've been telling them for 25 years it's poisoned with bacteria and pollutants. And in these cities, and they're putting stuff to try to neutralize it, but the stuff they're using to neutralize it is also going into your body. So, you know, there you go. our waterways are polluted. They've been polluted for over 30, 40 years, waterways in America. You hardly find a clean stream of well water, very few. So there we got to pray over the water. We got to pray over the food, pray over the land, pray over the air. It's all polluted. Now our governor's polluted. Our cities are polluted. Men's minds and thoughts are polluted. And the only answer, the one to unpollute all of this, is the everlasting gospel. That's the cleansing agent, brother. That's the cleansing full of soap. Can I get an old man or yay man?
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. I agree with you there. 100%. Amen.
And pushing forward. I was listening to you about talking about the misinformation that has been assembled against in America. Some of it's untrustworthy. You have to check it out and really check it out and think it out for the information that's contradictory information about certain things in the earth, especially the coronavirus and sickness and all of that stuff. You have to really, really, really think and search those things out carefully. Okay. We're not going to say that the government and its employees and information is kind of lying a little bit and contradicting themselves. We're not going to go that far, even though we know something that's true. Amen. Okay. We welcome the handmaidens who are sitting back in the, what they call it, sitting back in the clutch. And just like the basketball player, I used to been watching the Tokyo games. And you know, you can learn a lot of stuff when you look at natural things. Jesus often used natural things and natural parables and symbols to make us to understand spiritual truth. And he taught that way because of the minds of people. He used natural things that they understood and used symbolic things in the earth to reveal or manifest or make known a spiritual truth. So I've been watching some of the Tokyo games, Olympic games. It is quite revealing. When watching some things, a lot of people think, participating in the natural things of life, everything, you know, they try to make a devil and sin and everything. And sometimes there is always sin around and devil around engaging in everything that we do, even though it's meant for good and pure and competition and development of people in their lives. I think sports, good, healthy sport, competition, learning how to develop, unify, work together as a team, I think is very helpful to our children. I said it again. I don't care what over-enthusiastic Christians say. That's up to them, what they want to say. I see it very good that having activity physically and emotionally, eventually developing our children how to deal with life, how to work together, how to unify, how to be a teamwork, and how to accomplish things no matter how hard, and then learn excellent sportsmanship. So I'm really, one of the things in high school and part of the curriculum is sports, and I think a lot of it is healthy and good. You know, I learned to swim in high school and in school. Learning how to swim could save your life and save the life of other people. And also, it's good and healthy for your heart. Swimming is very good for your overall health. Most people don't know that. Swimming is one of the activities that all parts of your body get benefit. And so swimming, only learning how to swim could save your life or somebody else's life. So there's some good in a lot of things. Basketball, football, a lot of times these things. Boxing is kind of knocking your brains around a little bit too much for me. And some, but anyway, I am a tennis fan. I am not too much. The only time I became a golf fan is when Tiger Woods got in. And so you could see that he could be successful in life, but his spiritual life, and there's a part of his life, can be messed up. You can be a greatest basketball player and greatest successful in learning competition, teamwork, and develop your business, your iconic, and your spiritual life, like Michael Jordan. Great, great success story in basketball and business and ownership. But their lives are fraught. Many of them are far from God, and they are not a spiritual example, and many of them. So, but their success in this life, and I commend them for hard work and diligence and using the talent that God has given them. But they need to turn and give God the glory and give their lives to Jesus. So, okay, then. We'll say that a little bit. You work out a lot on your body, right? For your body stuff, sir.
Right. Right.
And my son, he's a muscle builder now, James. He has those competition and stuff like that. I said, I'm not too much. I did work out when I was very young, building my body and keeping my body strong when I was very young. And I think it's very helpful to you in emotional and spiritual things. And I found this out as I look back, how keeping yourself healthy in body has an effect on your mind and your thinking. Oh, and I don't want to get into that, but it has a lot of effect on you. So I tell people, exercise your faith, exercise your spirit and your emotions, exercise your body. Because you're living in a body, and your body needs certain things to stay healthy and well. So if you do exercise, proper exercise like walking and doing some walking and every day and walking and exercising your heart and your blood streams and your body, it sure can be a benefit to you. What do you think?
Amen. I agree wholeheartedly. You have to keep stuff moving in your body. You know, once people, you know, sit down and sit around, you know, and not do, you know, you causing what should be continuously moving in your body. You know, when that starts sitting still, then, you know, we have all kinds of health problems.
Yeah, that's quite true. And too much activity is not the best. It's not not any part of your being in too much inactivity. It's a time to relax, of course. And this is a time to give rest and recuperate. Now, that's good. And I believe in vacations. they call the word vacation. Time to give everything a rest and cool out. I think that Jesus took some slight side trips. Do you know that Jesus often had little places he left the disciples behind?
Amen. Amen.
And one of the things, places he often would go were to his friend. So friendship, where Jesus would go to his friend's house, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. That was his friends. And close friends. And he would leave his apostles aside and let them go to their home or families, and he would take a little retreat. Hallelujah. I like that, taking a little retreat. Hallelujah. For friendship and just having friendship relationship Jesus had with Lazarus and Martha and Mary and some of the others. Okay, time out. Let's get to what we would like to talk about today and share today to everyone in the world that is listening, and it's about, why is it that does God desire you to be healed and well? Why is the creator, the maker, the giver of life, who we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, became human to die for the sins of the world and rise again as the Lamb of God, and who is both Lord and God and Redeemer, and is the King that's coming back to rule over the earth and over man. Why is it you think that he focus of his nature and desires for his people to be well and healed? Thought about that, whether it seemed to be a deep desire about healing and deliverance and wellness. You see that? Do you see that an integral part of the gospel? The integral part of the gospel is about wellness and healness and freedom and liberty, right? You say that.
Amen. 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 I agree.
So
it reflects too, brother, you know, what's going on in heaven. You know, he said, thy
yeah.
will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know we didn't read about nobody sick going to the heaven clinic or having to have a heavenly surgery.
Gotta have
you know?
a got to have a medical card. A medical card, yes, you can't get no medical attentions, but down here, a lot of people are suffering because they don't have any medical attention or clinics. But in heaven, the Lord desires, is what he says, pray that thy kingdom come. Just like it's the condition it is in heaven, that's what I want for you, my people, in the earth. So he prayed, told us to pray that prayer, that the desire, didn't it? When he gave his disciples and teachers to pray, he said, our Father which art in heaven. Then he goes on and said, thy kingdom come, where? Thy will be done on earth, and just like it is in my home in heaven. So we think that he wants to bring the kingdom, well-being, and deliverance to the earth, and to us that live in the earth and who are the redeemed. Do you think that's what he really wants? That's what the gospel is about?
Amen. I do believe that. Amen.
The gospel of wholeness, wellness, liberty, freedom, and deliverance. I see that's what the word gospel means, of the gospel of Christ. Now, you know, that's something about this, that the Lord wants us to be like him, like Jesus was. He was old, hell, and he came into earth to show us way back to be reclaimed, wholeness and wellness and deliverance, and all three areas of our lives, mind, soul, and our spirit, our body, mind, spirit, and soul. He wants us well and whole, because then originally he made Adam completely whole. I mean, there is no defect. There is no negative, no sickness, no disease, no plagues, no sorrow, no grief, no agony, no curse. It was just complete, as they call it, perfect. They use the word perfect. So let's see what Jesus, when he came into the earth as the Lamb of God, as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the seed of Abraham, what did he demonstrate in message, in word, and in deed? What did he actually demonstrate? He demonstrated the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God. And you read Mark chapter 1 and 15, he says, repent and believe on the king. Believe on the Lord. The kingdom is being preached, the kingdom of God. And what's the message of the kingdom of God? And when you said preach and teach, what means to declare good news? The gospel is referred to as good news, glad tidings. Luke chapter 2, verse 89. What did Jesus Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach, you know, does the scripture demonstrate it pretty well? Acts 10:38 tells us very important of what the mission, part of the mission that the Lord Jesus came in the earth to do, a part of bringing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to the earth, to us that believe. Acts 10:38. Let me see, what does it say? The central desire for us, because we're facing so much aftermath from the fall of Adam. And Acts 10:38 says, how God, or how Yahweh, anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Now, what was part of that revelation of truth? How Yahweh would this anointed Jesus with what? With Holy Ghost and what? Power.
Wow.
Now, that's Acts 10:38. And Peter is preaching what he learned from the Lord Jesus from the almost three and a half years he spent with the Lord Jesus in training and in mentor. And learning. As he taught the disciples, and they discipled them those 3 years, training them, preparing them for his ministry. Now notice these disciples were trained for to do his ministry, right?
Amen.
Who is that in the background?
Say what now?
Oh, I thought I heard somebody. Now, they were to do his work or do his ministry. They were to reflect everything and demonstrate and declare and proclaim and demonstrate all the things that he had taught and trained them while he was on the earth. In other words, they're to be like him, all things. So let's see. In John 14:6, he says, I will be leaving the earth, leaving here, and I'll be going away. And I got a mission for you guys. I'm going to give you another comforter called the Holy Ghost, and he's going to take my place and do the works that I want you to do. And he says, greater works will you do than I do. Notice he said greater works. John 14:6, he told the disciples, you'll do greater works.
Amen.
Now, he did not say you'll get greater power than I got. He said you'll do greater works. Because you can't get greater power than, because he's the very God in flesh, a redeemer, so you're not going to get greater power than him. But he said you'll do greater works. And the works, because he only did for three years around Jerusalem and the Jews. But the greater works that they were going to do is going to do what he trained them to do, to train them to go to all nations and all the earth. He only did a little short work around Jerusalem and the Jews. His work around his people, the Jews. But they're going to do, they, after he leaves, they were going to go to all the earth. Now, so where we are, it said that Jesus, in his works of demonstration to us what the will of the Father is, because people want to know what is the will of God for why he raised the church here, what's the will of God to be revealed. Well, this is part of the perfect will of God. Ephesians said, know and understand the will of God for your life. This is a perfect part of the perfect will of God for all of his children. It says, and Jesus, God, Yahweh, anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. And he went about doing good. What was his good that he was doing, Brother Nate? What was the good he was manifesting? He did good in that scripture.
Healing all that was oppressed of the devil.
He healed all the sick, diseased, and oppressed of the devil. So the devil's job is to oppress you, right?
Amen.
To put you in bondage, into yoke, fear, disease, distress.
You kind of sound kind of low there, brother.
Okay. So Jesus came to demonstrate the will of the Father. And the Bible said he did what? He healed all. Who did he heal? The word healing encompasses a lot of things. But we'll talk further about another term that Jesus used that goes beyond healing. It is connected to healing. Now, it says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. That's the first thing. Then he went about doing good, right?
Amen.
So, do you think that the gospel that's being restored today by the angel Elijah bringing restoration is that he meant to restore the same works that he did when he was on the earth? You think that that's what he intended?
Yes, I do. Amen. That's in the all things package.
So that's what the church, the one that called himself the redeemed body of Christ, are followers of Jesus. That's part of their mission and purpose concerning the gospel, right? Okay. So especially if you say you're the chosen church and another one raised up in 1929 or whatever, then we're supposed to do the works of God, do the works of Jesus, right?
Amen.
All right. Now, it said he went doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Now, you notice what he says, in his first coming to earth as the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Redeemer, Isaiah, the prophet, spoke 800 years before Jesus was born, and begin to reveal what his mission, part of his first mission and part of his second mission in Isaiah 61. In Isaiah 61, the prophet that Isaiah was given to tell about a part of his first and second mission. Now, the Jews did not understand his second coming. That's why part of the reason they rejected him. They didn't understand the scripture that he had a second coming. They all thought, they only understood the scripture that when he come, he's going to destroy the kingdom, and he's going to get rid of all the enemy. But they didn't know there was a second part. So it missed the second part. There was did not have the insight to the mysteries of the scriptures, so they didn't understand that Jesus had a second coming. His first coming was the Lamb of God to lay down his life. But his second coming, he came to rule and reign forever. So the Jews did not understand that. They didn't understand the scripture. So Isaiah the prophet, many of the prophets who received visions and revelation, they did not fully understand what they was given, because the full light was not given to them. They just spoke with us, said, thus said Yah. Yes, thus said Jehovah, the God of Abraham. So they gave it, but they didn't always fully understood it. So Isaiah said, in Isaiah 61, prophesied over about 800 years before the Messiah was born, he's, the Spirit of the Lord God was be upon him, and anointed him to declare good news, good tidings. This talks about part of his ministry. As you read Isaiah 61, it talks about his first and second coming. But you got to rightly divide the part that's his second coming, because a lot of people read scripture, they don't divide things or study enough to know when God is talking about the present tense and he's talking about the future. A lot of people get mixed up when they read the scripture. Some things they're reading is about the future. Some things about present right then, and some things are past. So you got to be divided between the past, the present, and the future when you're reading scripture and expressing prophetic things. And this is why people get mixed up, because the Jews only thought that Jesus was only coming. The first mission was to get it all done. They didn't know he had a second coming. The same thing today happened to Christianity. They don't understand that Elijah has a second mission and a second coming. They missed it just like the Jews missed that Jesus had a second coming. Now the Christians who believe in the second coming but don't understand that Elijah, Jesus said Elijah will be coming again to pioneer the way and announcing his second coming. Malachi 4 and 5 and Matthew 7. They don't understand the second coming of Elijah, John the Baptist in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that sick and oppressed the devil. Is that right?
That's right.
Now, Matthew, would you turn to Matthew 8? And Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17, and read something. Since we want to know what the will of God is, what the Father had Jesus to express, reveal his complete will to his people, this is for his covenant people who become his people by faith and the new birth. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, you have that?
Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 through 17 says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
Now, here's the thing we need to blow the trumpet in the latter days. Do you think Jesus was walking in the complete will of his Father and doing completely what his Father told him in everything?
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was manifesting God in the flesh, the will of the Father, that he was the only person in the history of this world and the planet that did not miss it in anything, did not make any mistake, did not sin in thought, word, or deed in any way. He's the only one on the earth that completely, totally sinless by nature, by thought, word, and deed. Only person. he fulfilled the complete will of the Father and complete will of the law was in complete in him. He didn't miss it. He didn't fail. He didn't make not one mistake. Satan did not have any power or exile anything against him until he tried all the way. He's the only one, sinless in thought, word, by nature, and deed. Now here, that means Jesus, when Jesus Christ will often say, I do what my Father say to do. I speak everything he tells me to say, and I don't say anything aside from what he said. Whatever I say, it's my Father in me that's doing it. Whatever I speak, it's my Father. He said, it's not me. It's my Father. I come to do the will of him that sent me, to demonstrate the will of him that sent me to the earth. He constantly said, my Father, these are not my words. These are not my doings. It's not my works. Now, since he expressed the complete, perfect will of the Father, it says in Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17, what does it say? Now, let's go over the three things that he said he's going to manifest. I'm talking about the Holy Messiah as the Lamb of God when he first came to the earth. He says that verse again. What did he demonstrate? What did he do?
When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and heal all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying.
Wait a minute, brother. Hold on. Did you say heal all that were sick?
Heal all that were sick.
Now, no, wait a minute, brother. You made a mistake, because today in many areas of Christianity, they say Jesus is not the same. He doesn't operate the same. That's not the will of the gospel, the will of Christ. It says he cast out, what did he say? He cast out what?
He cast out the spirits with his word.
He cast out evil spirits?
Amen.
He cast out devils, demons? No, bro, that don't happen no more. God can't do that no more. He's asleep somewhere. I hear Mary and Richard Gruce said that Jesus Christ, that don't happen anymore. I'll ask all these people that don't believe that that's supposed to be happening today, that his people supposed to do that. I want to ask the people that don't believe that, do they believe that the devil exists?
Amen.
Do they believe that demons and evil spirits exist? I hear certain groups, I have to name certain groups, but there are certain groups that don't believe that demons are real evil spirits, and that Jesus give authority against demons and evil spirits do the same work. Remember, he told his disciples, he said, you're going to do my work and greater works. John 14, greater works. Okay. So Jesus, our Messiah, our Holy One, he cast out the spirits with his word. Wow, that's some authority, eh?
Amen. Yes, it is.
I mean, if somebody said, we're the only one who had the priesthood authority. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
But let's see now. So Jesus was our high priest, the perfect priest for us, and we are walking in his priesthood authority. A restored priesthood authority that he restored through Elijah in these last days. Wait a minute. He mean his priesthood authority cast out the spirits with his word? Now, hold on then. I think you're kind of reading. Maybe you get some glasses there. You sure you got your glasses on?
Amen. Got it on.
And he cast out the spirits. Now, these people who claim that there is no demonstration of God's power today, he don't do that anymore. But you notice they don't say the devil is not here. They don't say demons are not here. They said, if anything like that is happening, it's the devil that's doing it. So they believe that the devil got power to do all this stuff, but they don't believe that the living God got no power to do anything. There's certain groups, oh, no, God don't do that anymore. He can't do that. Well, then, why has the devil still got his power? Can you ask me, Brother Nate? Well, why has the devil still got his power if God is not working in his power? Now, I don't understand that. Well, he don't do that anymore, you know. That's done away 1,000 years ago. That's been disappeared, done. Well, when was the devil done away with? When was sin done away with?
Amen.
So we need the same. Do we need the same Jesus, the same ministry, the same works of Jesus that we need today? Huh? We got the
Amen.
Same devil, ain't we?
Amen.
We got the
Amen.
Same evil spirit. We got the same people under bondage and yokes, right? So they need the same help, right?
Amen.
Something is wrong with somebody somewhere. Why we need the full gospel and the spirit to be restored, because many good Christians, many believers, do not believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wow. Wow. Because the devil has not changed. He's the same yesterday and yesterday. So the devil ain't changed. And mankind still has a cursed nature yesterday, today, and now. So these two people, humanity, got the same sinful nature. The devil is still the devil, the evil spirit, and all of a sudden, but Jesus, you know, he quit. He don't do that. He don't help. He don't do this. He can't do that. Now, he's the only one that can't do nothing. All the rest of it, the devil got the same power. He's doing the same stuff. Mankind got the same nature. He's doing the same stuff. But all of a sudden, they tied Jesus' hand and said, well, no, he doesn't raise the dead today. That's done away with. He doesn't open blind eyes. That's done away with. He doesn't set the captive free, as Isaiah said. He did back there. He can't do that anymore. We're going to tie his hands so he can't do that. Our unbelief going to tie his hands. Okay. Since we're going to tie the hand of Jesus by unbelief, let's see. I have the word of the Lord, the angels who's bringing a word, and I would like for you, brother, I'm going to get 34. We're going to read the angel that's coming today. Is he verifying the same type ministry in the Bible that we read in the Bible? Is he talking the same language and message that Jesus taught when he went and he cast out devils with his spirit and his word, and he healed all that was sick? This is fascinating, because people are bumping on what is the will of God? What is the will of the gospel? Is it changed? God has changed his word, his promises. Is he forgotten? Is he has the same gospel? Look what it says in Matthew 8:16. He healed all, and he in the evening time he sat and he cast out spirits. He cast out a demon.
Amen.
Wow, that's something, eh, brother.
Amen.
That is something. Is Jesus Christ having the same gospel, the same promise? And you notice sometimes people focus on prideful things, but not on the works. Oh, we have the building, or we have the book. Okay. Isn't that nice? We're the only one. Isn't that nice, brother? But let's see, do you have the works? Let's see, do you have the works? I'm noticing nobody boasting about the works. Do you hear people boasting about that? Well, we walked on the water and we turned the water to wine. We caused that eye to come back in. Why is people boasting about that? You're going to boast about something, right?
All right.
All right. Let's go to message. Here's the angel of the Lord today bringing a message corresponding to the same message in the Bible, all agreeing with yesterday's testimony in the Bible. He's coming again, reminding us, and this angel's message 34 and 12. Let's see what the angel of the Lord coming today to restore things. What is he saying in this angel's message? Does it agree with the Bible? Message 34 and 12.
Said 24 and 12.
I'm sorry, 24 and 12. You're right, 24 and 12.
The word of the Lord says, I am again establishing my church in its fullness with 12 apostles and authority as in the days of old. And my elders shall preach the gospel and teach the people as in former days. I will bless those that shall take the message I have sent and warned the people. And I will again manifest my power in healing, and my spirit shall comfort their hearts.
Wow, now the angel of the Lord is speaking the same message that was spoken and Jesus taught over 2,000 years to his apostles. He's coming, reiterating, reminding us and restoring and awakening us to the will of the Father. From the beginning, he's saying the same thing Jesus taught back there. He says about the healing of his people. Now, I'm going to read something else the angel said. Again, we're going to get another witness. Seeing as he's speaking the same thing, message 26 and 6. The Lord has placed the work of the churches and the preaching and teaching in the hands of the apostles as in the days of old Christ when he was here, and the finances and the care of the poor and the needy in the cares of the bishop. Therefore, see that the work is done as the Lord would direct. Let the elders preach the gospel. Baptize those that come to the church of Christ. Let them labor among the people, healing the sick, blessing the children that they brought to them. Let them lay their hands on them. Let the Lord confirm their works by the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of God may lead them in all truth. Then he says, verse 7, let the women assist in the work by taking the message from house to house that all may be warned. So the women also are missionaries. They're to take the message, and people need prayer. They're to pray for them. Oh, they're not? No, really? Okay, well, where you see in the scripture where a born-again saint can't pray for people? Could you tell me that, brother?
I ain't seen that, brother.
I just want to know, if a woman happens to be a woman in the body of Christ, born again, a heir, a joint heir, and she's born of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Ghost, and she takes the message of the gospel to people in the house, and they say, we want to come to Christ. And you have to tell them, you have to wait till next Sunday till you get to the house. Do you think that's proper?
No, not at all.
What if that born-again daughter in that house said, I need prayer for my children home today. Would you pray for them? Is your do a woman, does she have Christ in her? Does she have faith in God? Does it tell me in the scripture where you have to be a man to have faith in God?
No.
Then you show me in the scripture where you have to be a male to exercise faith in God.
Nowhere.
I found in the Mark, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. So if a woman happened to be in Christ, standing there, and she believed, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Now, he didn't say, all things are possible to a man that believe. Did he say that?
No, he didn't say that.
No, he did not. He didn't say faith does not work only in a man. I just wondering, you know. I was just asking the question. You know, I'm kind of curious. I'm still learning. Now, here is what we need to understand about healing and deliverance. I want to get this straight because there's three areas we're going to talk about. One today, one healing, about miracles and deliverance, because they're all tied together. Healing, miracles, and deliverance are tied together in the ministry of Christ. They're not exactly the same. They go on to one area of grace to another area of grace, but they're interconnected. Listen, it is the will of the Father when Jesus walked the earth, he cast out spirits, set the captive free, and restored people, and often gave them a miracle. And he said that the gospel, this is the gospel, part of the gospel that's demonstrated. That's why when people shout and jump say they know the complete will of God, and actually they may not be preaching the complete message of the gospel. They may not be demonstrating. They may not believe for the demonstration of the gospel. And I'm not condemning them. But I'm saying as you understand the will of God, you're to walk in it. When you hear it, you're to obtain it. Let your traditions go, your church traditions and thoughts go with what is written in the scriptures. So anyway, we have about 10 minutes left. We hope we have that. Do we have anyone that's not going on a picnic? Sister Helen, she's always busy going. Boy, that sister go. Sister Allison also. Is Sister Allison on? No, not on?
No, no one's on yet, brother.
Okay, then we're going to carry on these 10 minutes. We don't have no time. We have to use this time, brother, because when this time is gone, it's gone. We can't come recall it no more. So we got to use it or lose it, right?
Amen.
People don't understand. This day is not coming back no more. This is the day given to us. It's gone, it's gone. So we better use the time. The Bible said redeem the time for the days of evil. So we're going to make full use of the time. We're not going to stutter and think, well, no. You know, I some things I missed in God because I stutter and think, well, I don't know. I don't know. So I'm going to stop stuttering. I'm going to say, if the Lord said it, I'm just going to do it. If I make a mistake, I just have to repent. Come back. Amen. At least I tried. Either I took a step forward, but I know no one knows the heart and desires of all. So that's the difference. He knows my heart and my desire. You may see the actions, but you don't know my heart and desire unless the Lord reveals. Now, we go. In the angel's message, he talks about the healing, and I want you to read, you got the angel book, about the will of God, about his people being well and whole. Because many of us, all of us, have suffered afflictions in our body, mind, finance, home, and all kinds. That's not the will of, it's the will of God that we be free, we be delivered. That's why Jesus demonstrated when he was on the earth. He demonstrated everything. So the Lord is calling for the gospel to be demonstrated. Hallelujah. What do you think about it?
Amen. I agree 100% there, bro.
Let's go to the angel's message, verse 35. I got all this scripture down, which I'm going to have to do it in three parts, next Friday and next Saturday. I had to come back. Do the Lord want to make us well? Is it God's will for you to be healed and whole? Message 35 and 1. Now, the angel is coming today, and he's telling his church and his people the same message he spoke in the day he walked on the earth. Read on.
Message 35, verse 1. Arise and take the instructions I should give you. I come to you at this home at this time. I come to you with this message that you might give it to the church. I speak to the people of the Lord, those that have heard the midnight cry. The cries of my people have come up before me, and I have heard their humble pleas, say your God. Yea, I am pleading for you to continue to come close unto me. Behold, many have obeyed me in that they have come humbly to the assembly. I led you here one and all, and my wish is that you remain very humble before me. Then I will continue to bless you and lead you close unto me. Be very humble that the sunlight of righteousness from the Lamb of God may shine on you with healing in his power.
Now, he's indicating what the perfect will. He's speaking it. He's making it plain and simple, isn't it? I mean, it's not hard. It's not like he's
Amen.
Trying to make it difficult, right?
That's right.
He said the sunlight of righteousness. We know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The sunlight, what do the natural sun, give light in our heavens? The natural sun. The natural sun shines light upon us on the earth. And light reveals, light manifests and removes the darkness. and the darkness
Amen.
Steps back. When the light appears, the darkness has to obey and say, okay. When the sunlight rises in the morning, the darkness says, oh, all right, my time is up. I got to go. The sun is here. The eyes of everybody can see where they're going now without any help, because the sunlight opens your eyes and you see. And then it also brings help to you because you need this sun shining upon the earth for you to have certain ports of help. Not only see where you're going, what you're doing, but arrive at what you need to know. Sun opens, sunlight gives vision. And so you see, and spiritually speaking, it open your spiritual eyes. When Jesus is classified as the S-U-N, sunlight of righteousness, shall arise over you with what? Healing in his power?
Amen. Amen.
So, well, this is the angels verifying what the Bible says. For them, now he's telling the Church of Christ, Elijah Messiah, as well as all people outside, the sunlight of righteousness, it wants to rise upon his people with healing in his wings. Wow. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Sure enough, good news. I don't know how you take it, but if that's what Jesus intends for us to do in these last days, what he did in the beginning, I'm for it, Jesus, 100%. I don't care who don't believe. I'll take it. Sunlight of righteousness, rise healing, all kind of healing, not just physical. This sunlight of righteousness healing is not just physical. When people hear the word healing, they always basically think about physical, but it's about the other three parts of your life. There's the one part of your life that is more important than your physical healing. What part of that? The spiritual part of you that's in darkness and away from God. That is the most important healing. How do you give a new heart, a new spirit, and you're made well in Christ? That's the most important when your spirit is born again and made new. That's the most important healing of your life. Now, the physical part and the emotional part, the financial part, and all the other parts go with the complete restoration. That part of the healing is called restoration. And second part is called deliverance. But remember, Jesus cast out the spirits. He didn't just heal people, but he cast out spirits. Because you can't be healed on some things unless you cast out the spirits first. Some people don't
Amen.
Understand that they can't be made well until you first cast out a spirit. Remember Jesus, when he healed people, he would cast out a spirit. He said, thou spirit of infirmity, leave. People don't understand the word of knowledge he had. He would say, you spirit, blindness, leave. Before they could get healed, that spirit of blindness had to be cast out. So here we learn about the will of the Father in these last days, that the angel messenger is bringing the same gospel and more light about the will of the Father through Jesus Christ by the Elijah messenger about our well-being and wholeness. So let's keep that in mind, beloved, that the angel in Malachi 4, the Elias further come, that this message he bring is going to bring what Jesus Christ did in the first century, in the first coming, the sunlight of righteousness arise over you with spiritual, physical, emotional, and revelation healing and deliverance upon your life. Well, I think that Jesus loves to heal. Do you think Jesus, he just loved to heal and deliver? Everywhere he went, brother, he healed and cast out devils and set the captives free. He just loved that. The devils, when they saw Jesus on the scene, we know who you are. The demons will speak out, bro. We know who you are. And the people today, they don't know who Jesus is, but the demons know. That's something.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Wow.
Amen.
Well, we thank God for the time that we have had to share with you. Is healing and well-being the will of God for your life today? Yes. This is what the gospel is called, good news. He healed nations. We'll talk about him healing nations and healing their land. Do you know most of the lands are under a curse Brother Robert, I keep thinking about Brother Robert Gross. With my brother, I just miss him so much. Now, do you know that what the Lord said, I'll heal the land if you repent?
Amen.
Chronicles 7:14, why he had to heal the land. The land, the nations, the land is cursed. That's why they drought and won't grow and sad and unfertile. They're cursed. So the gospel goes to those people in land and lift the curse.
Amen.
What the curse is? What do the curse come from these people? Idolatry, paganism, heathenism, and demonism. That's why the land is cursed. Well, we thank God for this hour, brother. The Church of Christ with Elijah Messes, 608 Lacey Road. We are aligned with that branch, and we'll thank God that a better day is ahead. Keep looking in faith. Keep believing for your miracle and your healing. Keep reading the gospel, depending on the Holy Spirit, and it shall be well with you. If you want today to make a decision to come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to wait to go to a certain building or a certain spot. You don't have to go to a church building or synagogue to be converted to Christ and commit your life to Christ. You can do it anywhere you are. Where am I? Jesus is standing right there, and he will change your life, and the Holy Spirit will come into your life. You can invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Just quickly believe in your heart, I'm tired of being darkness. I'm tired of being not understanding, but I am willing to accept Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again and is coming back. I accept the blood. I reflect the blood of Jesus that redeemed me from my sins. I accept Jesus as my Lord by faith, and I'm inviting him to live your life in me, change me, convert me, and make me whole. If you do that in faith, it is done, because God cannot lie. If you ask him and you want him, he'll come, and he's now come to them that invited him into their life. Now, the next step is find a good Bible-believing gospel church, the full gospel, who believe in sanctification, holiness, and the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit to have its way in your life. Well, we love you, and we appreciate this hour. And Brother Nate, we thank God. And as you continue to listen to Brock Todd Brady, Brother Nathaniel Hunt, the elder and the man of God, is a teaching on the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think basically 5 days a week or 4 days a week, he is telling the gospel. So tune in at 7 a.m. And one day he'll give you the time. But talk and now listen to the good news that's going to give you deliverance. Brother Nathaniel Hunt, daily. Okay, then, brother. You can sign me out.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget tomorrow night we have another broadcast as we continue on the Abomination series, and we continue to talk about the Abomination hands that shed innocent blood. So look for the advertisement tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m. So once again, for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate. We love you. God bless you, and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, brother.
God bless.